is amen. Okay, do you have this? Is this not on back here? Is it not on? Can you fix it? Do you know how to fix it? Is this not on right here? All right, it says it's on. I've got power. Give me a handheld, please, if you will, if you don't mind. That's okay. All right, is it on now? You got the mic? Which one you got on? Point to it. You got this one on? I don't want that one. And give me this one, if you will. All right. Thank you. Now we're in Psalm 150. Thank you, Brother Mason. We're in Psalm 150 in verse 6. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Now watch it now. "Praise ye the Lord." And as I speak tonight about praise, I want you to think about, how is your praise life to the Lord? How is your praise life to the Lord? We like to receive praise. We like to praise other things. We like to praise other people. But how is your praise life when it comes to the Lord? In Psalm 150, you'll see that it's talking about here about how we are supposed to praise the Lord. I think it's very sad today that Christians neglect praising the Lord. He's been so good to us. I mean, you think about from the day you got saved to the present day that you're breathing, He has been so good to us. There are so many things you could praise Him for, you would run out of time in the day to be able to praise God for all that He has done. Praise, I'll give you a simple definition to it, is the expression, if you would, of exhortation, if you will, of God. I mean, you're just, if you would please, admiring God in a verbal way. You're admiring God in a positional way. You are praising Him. You have Bible examples, of course, of people that praised Him. There was Leah, found in Genesis chapter 29, verses 31 through 35. The Bible talks about how Leah was hated, if you would, by Rachel, because, of course, it was Jacob that loved Rachel, expressing so more than he loved Leah. And God blessed Leah and gave her four children. The name of the children, of course, was Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And you think about this. Leah praised the Lord for the sons that God had given her. Matter of fact, Jesus is called the Lion of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so you'll see that she had reason to be able to praise the Lord. By the way, she had a right attitude in praising God. God was the one that gave her sons. And so she learned to praise the Lord. There was Deborah, if you would, and Barak. You remember the story. You remember the story of the children of Israel. God had blessed them, and God had given them a victory over Jabin. And, of course, they're that king, the king of Canaan, and God had given them victory over that. And so what did they do? They sang praises about the victory that God had given them. You have an example of David over in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. You'll see that David, of course, had passed his throne on to that which is his son. And so as he passed his throne on to his son, Solomon, you'll see that he assigned 4,000 men to be able to praise the Lord through trumpets. 4,000 men praising the Lord. Now, you'll see that David had a reason to be able to praise the Lord. Why? Because God gave him a kingdom that was not failing. God gave him a kingdom that he was blessing himself. Now, there's all sorts of reasons to be able to praise the Lord. Let me give you a couple of them for you to consider tonight. Statement number one, praise God for the right reason. Praise God for the right reason. In other words, don't praise God to butter him up. Don't do this. Don't treat your God tonight like if I will praise him, then I'll butter him up. And if I butter him up, he'll give me what I want. That's not the right motive. That's not the right reason to be able to praise the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 22 and verse 26, the Bible says, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied." And it says, "They shall praise the Lord." Now, wait a minute. God's already been good to you. You're already eating. You're already satisfied. You do live here in America. You do not live in a poverty-stricken nation. And so you have more to praise the Lord about. Are you listening to me? If a person living in a poverty-stricken nation can praise the Lord for that which is a piece of rice, then why can't you praise God for your piece of bread? if a person can praise the Lord because they get the privilege to sleep inside of some type of made, if you would please, room, and but yet sleeping on a cold floor, but they're praising God because they get to sleep inside, then why can't you praise the Lord because you're sleeping on a mattress? If a person can praise God because they have the legs to be able to walk to a preaching meeting, then why can't you praise God because you get to ride in a car? You think about these things. If you get to praise God because or a person gets to praise God because they have one article of clothing to their name, and you have a closet for clothing in your apartment or in your trailer or in your dwelling place, then why can't you praise God for all the clothes that God's given you? See, I think here's the problem. The problem is we lose our praise because we're greedy. We just want more. What's going to destroy an individual is the more that you want. Because when you get the more, it creates a desire to even have more. It's amazing how America would rely on God when America had nothing. It prayed for everything. Now that we have everything, we pray for nothing. You know, it's important tonight for us to understand we ought to praise God for the right reason. Why? Well, because of who He is. Why? Because of what He's done. Why? Because of who He is to you. Statement number one. Statement number two, praising God and singing are very closely related. Praising God and singing are very closely related. Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this? Have you ever walked down the hallway, and while walking down the hallway, you find yourself singing a hymn? While walking down the hallway or driving in traffic, you find yourself singing, and it might be that you're even making up a song, just a song of praise. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a good singer. Well, I think it depends on the hearer. They say that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Can I tell you, the listener is the one that describes the song. As we sing a song of praise to God, God likes that. God likes it when we praise Him. God likes it when we lift up our voices. You don't have to hit a special note. Just try to hit a note. It doesn't have to be perfectly on key to be able to praise God. You can praise Him with that, whatever type of chords that God has given you in your vocally. You can praise Him. Why? Because He's worthy to be praised. Psalm 9 in verse 11, the Bible says, sing praises unto the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. It says, declare among the people His doings. Has God done anything for you? Well, praise Him for it. Praise Him for it. Hey, how about before you get out of bed tomorrow morning, why don't you lay there for just a minute, open your eyes, realize that you're alive, and say, God, I want to praise You for giving me one more day. That'd be a pretty good start. Maybe tonight you can lay your head on your pillow, and before you close your eyes and go off to dream world tonight, you could take and say, dear God, I want to praise You tonight because You gave me another day. That would be good. See, I'm saying that we have reasons to be able to praise Him. You have reasons to be able to sing. I don't know how many people make up songs, just make up songs just to be able to praise Him. Isn't that a wonderful thing to do? You just take a phrase and just put it in a tune-like fashion, if you will, and you sing it to Him over and over and over again. And you say, but Brother Wells, I can't sing, and I can't do well singing, but to Him, I believe that your voice of song, if you will, as you sing it to Him, can I tell you, I think that He enjoys that. I think He enjoys hearing your voice. By the way, He's the one created you, and He is the one that gave you your voice. Psalm 147, verse 1, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. It says, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is, it says, a pleasant and a praise of comely. Now, so God is saying that we're supposed to praise Him. You know, 40 times praising God and singing unto God is mentioned in your Bible. Christians always ought to be those that lift up their voices in praise. You know, people praise different people that sing, and they praise them for their, what I would call, lack of artistic ability in the area of music, but they still get praised. You see them at the rock concerts praising these type of individuals, what they call artists. And you know, you see them doing that. Well, if tens of thousands, yea, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people can praise those that are rock artists and are country music artists, then why can't you praise the Lord God, the Creator? We understand tonight that God wants us to be able to praise Him. I said statement number one, praise God for the right reason. Statement number two, praising God and singing are very closely related. Statement number three, failing to sing and praise God is evidence that something is broken. Failing to sing and or to praise God is evidence of something is broken. If you're not singing, why? I love you, dear friend, but I've got a question. If you're not singing, why? The world sings their music. Why can't the Christian sing God's music? Here's what we understand. The Bible says in Psalm 57 and verse 7, the Bible says, my heart is fixed. It says, oh God, my heart is fixed. He says, I will sing and give praise. Now, that word fixed there could give you two separate type of definitions, meaning that my heart is fixed, it's steadfast, it's looking at, it's gazing upon. Or it could mean this, something that was broken is now fixed. You know, it is hard for an engine to run right inside of a vehicle if it's not fixed. It is hard for you to chew properly if you have dental problems and it's not fixed. It's hard for you to run and do a good job if you got a hip out of place and it's not fixed. It's hard for you to think and have a good thought life if your mind is not fixed. It's hard for you to walk through the door without it squeaking because it always does until you fix it. So here's what we understand. The Bible talks about here how David expressly is saying, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. He's emphasizing it twice. He said, I will sing and give praise. Now why? Because his heart's fixed. You know what I find out? When a person gets right with God, song enters in. When a person gets right with God, smile comes upon. When a person gets right with God, they begin to testify of God's goodness. When a person gets right with God, you find this out, that person now individually begins to describe their God, and oftentimes, more than not, they do it with song. The Bible says in Psalm 108 and verse 1, the Bible says, O God, he says, my heart is fixed. He says, I will sing and give praise, even, it says, with my glory. Now, wait a minute. God's been good to this individual. He says, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all that God has done for me. I'm going to take all that God has given me. And while other men might say to your glory, here's what God says. I'm going to take and want to receive that praise. And here's a person that says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all the glory that is given to me, and I'm going to expressly give it back to you. I remember I've often said when I came to Parkside Baptist Church that I would compliment young people in the hallway as they would sing songs here in the auditorium and whatnot. And I would say, now, you did a good job. And, oh, it bothered me so much because a young person, when I would say you did a good job, they would say thank you. And they would sip up. They would keep the praise. Well, God did not make you to keep the praise. God made you to reflect the praise. Listen to me now. Back to Him. You're supposed to be a mirror of God's glory. You're supposed to be a mirror of what God has done good for you. So you wake up tomorrow morning. You don't say, I'm just so good. I woke up and now I'm breathing. You would not be breathing, my dear friend, if it was not for the grace and the goodness of God. If we're not careful, we get so hung up on ourselves. Well, let me tell you who I am. We know who you are. You are a sinner saved by grace. And if it wasn't for the very grace of God, you'd be burning in hell right now. There's not a person in this room that does not deserve none of us deserve heaven. We all deserve hell, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did and how he saved us, can I tell you this tonight for sure? You can give him honor, you can give him glory, and you can give him praise. Why? Because he is the Lord thy God. So I'm saying tonight, very simply, I'm saying that we praise God for the right reason. Praising God and singing are that which is very closely related. We see that failing to sing and praise God is evidence that something is broken. What is broken? Now, by the way, only you can answer that question. We can begin to look at you. We can begin to try to figure it out. But if something is broken inside of you, only you can pinpoint it. Your husband doesn't know. How many husbands? Don't raise your hand. You're going to get yourself in trouble. But how many times have you seen your wife sitting in a car, sitting in a corner, sitting on a bench, sitting in a chair, and she's beginning to cry? And you say these words, "Honey, what's wrong?" And through a veil of tears, real hot, flowing, wet, soggy tears, she says expressively, "I don't know. I just don't know." "Well, can you tell me what is going on? That way I can try to help." "I don't know. I don't know." Now, can I tell you, something's messed up there. But that husband's not going to figure it out. By the way, it happens the other way, too. I'm just not picking on the women folk tonight. It does happen the other way. Sometimes it's not through a veil of tears, but sometimes it's through somebody just coming home and they're just mean as a junkyard dog. You know, here he comes home and, "Honey, what's wrong?" "I don't want to talk to you." "Well, honey, did you have a bad day?" "I said I don't want to talk to you." "Well, honey, could you talk to me and let's kind of talk things out?" And he runs in another room just like a little child and closes the door. Boom! Slamming the door. Okay? Well, what am I saying? You know, something's got to be. You say, "Well, you expect us? Do you expect us, Pastor? Do you really expect us to walk around all day long singing and praising God?" No, you're human. But can I tell you this? There ought to be times when you do. There ought to be times when you meditate and say, "Okay, you know, God has been good to me. I do have something that I can channel my thought life to and that I can praise God for." Statement number next, think about this. God likes his people to praise him. God likes it. By the way, you do too. When somebody comes up to you and they praise you, you sing a song and somebody comes up and says, "Wow, that was a great song." Don't you like that? I mean, you would like that better than somebody coming up to you and said, "Boy, I tell you what, you messed that one up too again, didn't you?" I mean, you like it when somebody comes up to you and says, that was great. That was fantastic. You did a great job. Man, thank you for playing that piano piece. That was absolutely wonderful, beyond compare. Wonderful. Instead of somebody coming up and saying, boy, you messed that one up too, didn't you? Hello. It's like the wife comes into the husband and says, "Honey, I've got a new outfit. What do you think of this?" Now, you be very careful. First off, don't say, "Well, I didn't realize it was new. Looked old to me." You know, you're asking for a frying pan upside your head. Don't do that. Be smart. Just say, "Honey, it looks great on you." Don't say too many words because you are going to mess up. Keep it short. Keep it concise. Don't say too many things because you're going to get something in there that should not be in there, and it's going to be not good. But just say, "Honey, that looks great." Or just say, look at her and say, "Wonderful. You look wonderful." If she comes in and says, "Does this match?" You could say this. You said, hey, babe, anything on you looks good. You could say that. Or maybe not. I'm talking to married men. Yeah, I mean, you could say something like that. You could do that. You could do that. That's pretty bad when you say something like that and the men blush. Oh, what if he comes in and says, honey, now by the way, if ever there's a man in here that did what I did and sometimes do, please, if you're the wife, help him out. Help him out. Yeah, I am horrible in matching ties. I'm just horrible. I'm horrible. So I lay out three ties, say, honey, which one? And she'll help me to pick the one. But now, fellas, look, sometimes you get in a hurry. Let your wife help you dress. The other day I was up here and I think I had blue britches on and a black jacket. Many people came to me and said, preacher, you realize you didn't match? And I said, well, that's the color of the Marines. I don't know what I would have said if it was an orange jacket and blue britches. But, you know, I was in a hurry. I ran outside. I got the jacket. I already had the britches on, and so it looked the same to me. I mean, pretty much they all looked the same to me. My wife was in another room, and I thought, hey, honey, see you later. And I took off. I didn't check in. Now, can I say this? Can I say that God likes it when we praise him? The Bible says in Psalm 22 and verse 3, the Bible says, but thou art holy. It says, oh, thou, it says, that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Psalm 69 and verse 30, the Bible says, I will praise the name of God, says, with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 109 and verse 31, the Bible says, I will greatly praise the Lord, it says, with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. So praise him. Now, here's what it says. It says to magnify him with thanksgiving. Magnify him. Lift him up. Lift him up. Choir sings the song. Lift him up. Lift him up. That's what you should be doing. Okay? Magnifying him. And then it says, I will praise him among the multitude. So among the multitude. Other words, don't pick and choose where you praise him. Just among the multitude. You're in Walmart. You find something on sale or some other mart. You find something on sale and you look at it and you're thinking this is a good deal. Well, express that. Who helped you to see that? You have eyes that God gave you. So why don't you pick it up and say, oh, praise the Lord. Let somebody hear that. You know, as you're checking out and all of a sudden you get a discount. Oh, praise the Lord. Did it ever occur to you, maybe if you praise him more, he would do more for you? There's very few people, I do think, in our day and time that praise him. So praise him for his goodness, not to get, but because of what he's already done. The Bible says to praise him in the midst of the multitude. Statement number next. Let others praise you, not yourself. Let others praise you, not yourself. Boy, it's a worrisome thing when somebody tries to milk somebody to praise them. You know, somebody sings a song and they go up to somebody and they're trying to milk them. What'd you think about the song? You know, what'd you think about that song? They just got done singing it. What'd you think about that song? You know, and they know they didn't mess up, but they're wanting somebody to pat them on the back. They're seeking praise. Don't seek praise. Let somebody praise you because of something you did without you trying to hook them into it. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 in verse 2, the Bible says, let another man praise thee. And it says, thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. So let somebody else praise you. Let somebody else come up and pat you on the back. Boy, I appreciate you. You've been faithful to church lately. You've just done a great job. God bless you, man. You're a blessing just by being here. Well, that's a praise. Let somebody do that. Man, I saw you attended a Sunday school class today. Hope you enjoyed it. It blessed my heart to see you walk in a Sunday school class. Let somebody praise you. Well, you came to church tonight. God bless you. Thank you, friend, for coming. Man, I just appreciate your testimony for God, loving God so much that you came back on a Sunday night. Amazing. Amazing. Let somebody praise you. Oh, you picked up paper off the floor. Thank you for that. You straightened up a hymn book. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for that. You picked up paper or trash off the lawn. Thank you for that. You worked as a part of the lawn crew, and you helped to mow, and you helped to weed eat. And boy, I praise you for doing that for God. You know, let somebody else. You played an instrument in the orchestra. You sang in the choir. You worked in the nursery. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with you praising somebody that's doing something good. Your kids need that. Hello? Son, you did a good job. You made the bed. Instead of always getting on to them, son, you did a good job. You made the bed. Son, you did a good job. You took out the trash. I didn't have to tell you to do it. You did it all by yourself. Well, thank you for that. That's a wonderful blessing. Hey, thank you for helping mom in the kitchen. Man, you did a great job. That meal, because you worked in the kitchen, boy, it tasted superb. You did a great job working in that kitchen. Thank you for that. Boy, that visitor that you invited to church, they came. It's all because you went out, you gave somebody a tract, you invited them to church. Wow. Praise the Lord for that. You did a good job. There's nothing wrong. And by the way, we live in such a negative society, it would be good for dads to learn to praise more. We live in such a negative society, it would be good for moms to learn to praise more. It'd be good for children to learn to praise their siblings. Yeah, it would. It'd be good for church members to learn to praise each other. Boy, thank you, thank you. Oh, praise the Lord. God sent you our way. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying let others praise you and not yourself. Statement number next and last, and that is this. Not last, but statement number next. Okay, don't get in a hurry. Scheduled time. Here it is. Scheduled time to praise God. Scheduled time. Scheduled time to praise God. Here it is. Psalm 119, verse 164. The Bible says seven times. This is David speaking. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. David said this. He said, I'm going to schedule seven times a day. I'm going to take and I'm going to praise you. So scheduled times to praise him. Statement number next. Okay. We should praise God for the Bible. Praise God for here's what God says about the Bible. Psalm 138, verse 2. Psalm 138 and verse 2. Here's what he says. He says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So he magnifies the word of God above his own name. All right? So praise God for the Bible. Thank God God's given us a Bible. You don't have to worry about, is it right, is it wrong? And I thank God we use the King James Bible here. I thank God for that. I mean, I believe it's the preserved and errant word of God for the English-speaking people. I worry about churches that they can't find what Bible to use, and so they use 10 different type of versions of the Bible, and then they expect the people to come, and they say, turn in your Bible too, and you don't know what they're reading until they get there. And that's how come they have to use the screens, because there's no way you're going to bring 10 different versions of the Bible to church. We like to stay with the King James Bible that God has blessed down through the ages. Watch this, statement number eight. Statement number eight, now I'm done. Think about this. We should come to church with praise in our hearts. We should come to church with praise in our hearts. You meditate. You decide how you're going to come to church long before you ever show up. I do really believe this. I do. I believe that you are in control of your attitude. I just believe it. I believed it all my life. I'm not changing. I believe you're in control of your attitude. You have a sorry attitude because you want a sorry attitude. You have a good attitude because you want a good attitude. You have a moody attitude because you want a moody attitude. You know, you control your spirit. I've seen people turn it on in basketball games, football games. I've seen people turn it on in baseball games. I've seen them turn it on hockey games and volleyball games. Meek, quiet, person almost sedated. All of a sudden, their child gets up. They happen to have the ball. They're bouncing the ball. They're heading towards that which is the goal. They're making a layup. They put it in. And that dad that was asleep just 5 minutes ago comes out of his seat with a roar and with a shout and with a glory to God. Yeah, they're excited. Now, why? Because they were in, stay with me now, they were into what was going on. When you get into what is going on, it changes your spirit. Psalm 100, verse 4, the Bible says, enter, it says, into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's talking about coming into that which is the place where you come to God to be able to learn the scriptures. Sounds like church to me. The Bible says in Psalm 100 and verse 5, the Bible says this. The Bible says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. So what do? You praise him. Praise him as you come to church. Get excited. Get excited. There are certain places that I get excited. Boy, I tell you what, I do. I get excited about coming to Parkside Baptist Church. There are certain conferences I preach at around the nation, and I'll be honest with you, flying on the plane to go to those conferences, I'm already excited, and I'm ready for the plane to land. I wish they'd find a landing strip right there on the cloud because I'm ready to get out. You know, and I think we've got to keep that excitement, and you praise the Lord in church. Praise the Lord in church. Let me help you out a little bit. There's nothing wrong with a man saying amen in church. Amen simply says this, I agree with what was said. That's what it means. So preacher gets up and he says, hey, we're supposed to be going soul winning. That's what we're supposed to be doing. There should be an array of men that's out there that says amen if you believe that. Now let me help you. So preacher gets up, we'll practice. You ready? And I'm done. Here it is. So preacher gets up and he says, hey, he said, we're supposed to be going soul winning. Now, when I do that, I'll go like this. And you can point if you want. But say amen. Say amen. You can do that, right? Just have fun. Just have fun. You ready? We're supposed to be going soul winning. Amen. Now, you have somebody that's visiting church and all of a sudden the church is alive like that. They're going to say this. They're going to say, man, I like going to that church. It's not dead like the average Baptist church. You go into the average Baptist church and nobody says amen. And by the way, let me help you. The Baptists were shouting 1,600 years before there ever was a Pentecostal. So don't tell me, well, I'll tell you what, you know, I can't shout. That's because you don't want to shout. Huh. You know, we got women in church that could outshout the men. I've got women sitting right here. They will attest to it. They will. They've said this to me. Preacher, if you would let me shout, I could. I've had women tell me this. If you would let me shout, I could show those men how to do it. I got women sitting right here tonight that have said that. Now, can I say this? It is good for you to agree with truth. I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about agreeing with truth. Look, I went to church, a Baptist church, where people would shout amen. You'd even hear an occasion, hallelujah. Every so often you hear, glory to God. Sometimes you'd hear somebody say this. They'd say, you're stepping on my toes. Now, you're not going to find that in the, you know, up in heaven, but you'll find amen there. You'll find praise the Lord there. Okay, watch. So you may say, well, that's just not me. That's not me. You know, I don't like to say amen. I don't like to praise the Lord. I think that's like personal. Well, you know what you could do in church? All of a sudden, you agree with something. You could do this. You could do that. Don't look at me that way. You know, Paul said this. Paul said that he came to the church to teach them how to behave in the house of God. You know why churches don't know what to do in church? Nobody teaches them. You know, if somebody take time and teach them, they would know. Amen. Isn't it funny, in churches we teach people how to give an offering? The men's going to come for the offering. It's time to worship God with their money. It's time for you to give. Give your tithe. Give your offering. It's time. We teach them. Amen. We teach them. But you let some kid be in church and they're playing on their cell phone and nobody says anything. You let some kid run around the church and he's picking up the pumpkins and throwing them on the floor and nobody says anything. You let people fall asleep in church. You know, the fivefold amen. Nobody says a word. You let somebody say amen in the average Baptist church and everybody's looking at him like, what is his problem? But I do believe churches are supposed to be alive. I believe. And by the way, I'm Baptist through and through. I am. Curtis Hudson said, Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I can't say that. Don't want to say that. I was Catholic born, Catholic bred, but when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Hello. Boy, it's quiet tonight. Can I tell you tonight, God loves you? Can I tell you tonight, this preacher loves you? Can I tell you tonight that church is what you make out of it? It's what you make out of it. Person comes to church and they fall asleep. You know why they fell asleep? They wanted to. Person comes to church and they get excited about the preaching. You know why they got excited about the preaching? Because they wanted to. Person comes to church and they act stuck up. You know why they act stuck up? Because they wanted to. Person comes to church and they're friendly with everybody, smiling from earlobe to earlobe, and they're friendly, they're shaking. You know why they're doing that? Because they wanted to. Person comes to church and they're paying great interest to what's going on. You know why they're doing that? Because they wanted to. See, church is what you make out of it. It's what you make out of it. So if you come to church and you're excited about the things of God, guess what? Then you're going to get something out of it because you're putting something in it. I played football for a little bit. Did you know I hated it when I couldn't be on the field? I got to be on the field a lot, but I'm going to tell you, I hated it when I couldn't be on the field. I didn't want to sit on the bench. I didn't like the bench. Matter of fact, when I was supposed to, they said sit on the bench, I couldn't help it. I was standing. Team was out there playing. Now, can I tell you something? That you have to decide how far you want to take your Christianity in church. And one of the ways is, praise God. Praise God for what he's doing in your life. And we're going to get ready to do that. Father, I pray that you'd bless now for just a few short minutes as we have a couple of testimonies here about how good you have been to us. Father, I pray that the Lord